Okay, Shalom Uvracha. Welcome back to our Frun family shir, hosted by Congregation Shari Tefillah. We graciously continue to thank the Frun family, Tizkov Mitzvah Zulamayisim Tovim, who sponsored this shir, Lezeichar Nishmas, their mother, Allah Hashem, Miriam Frun, Miriam Baschai Mitzchak, Lenashama Shehava Zuchos, Zechira Latova, and Aliyah Nashama Latova, and the merit of these Divrei Torah that we will share together today, this evening. Her Yurtzai, Miriam Baschai Mitzchak, Allah Hashem, was just this past Friday, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, and continue to thank the Frun family for their very stellar and unwavering commitment to these Divrei Torah, Lezecher Nishmas, their mother, Allah Hashem. So I just want to read to you something. Avigail Kenner, our long, long time Shir friend. I think Avigail's been with us since the Shir started, really, I don't know, 7 years, 8 years ago, Kanaina Harakin Yerbu. So she's very devoted when she can't be here in person. She always says to me, I'm sorry, I'm either away, I have a simcha, I can't be there. I'm going to make sure I listen to the recording. So she is in Eretz Yisrael. So I just wanted to start with this because she messaged me today and I thought we would all appreciate hearing this. As per your request, I wanted to write to you about my trip so far. In Yerushalayim, life is quite normal. Schools and stores are open and people are living their lives. Baruch Hashem, I get to spend time with my family. We went to the Kotel and lots of people were there, as opposed to the early days right after the massacre. I feel much calmer being here than I did in the States, and I feel very safe. My son Shul davens v'sikin Friday morning, and then says the whole Sefer Tehillim, concluding with Cross Satan, spelled out in Kapitel Kuf Yates before the Hiratzen. So they take Kapitel Kuf Yates is a chapter of Tehillim, where each os of the Aleph base has its own few eight stanzas. So they spell Cross Satan, tear up the decree of the Satan. My husband and I joined them, and it was very moving. We also have visited with refugees from Ashkelon and Sderot, who are temporarily in hotels near us. They were very happy to talk to us and felt very supported by us being there. We helped pack fruits and vegetables for displaced and poor people with other Anglo volunteers. I even gave blood for the first time. I was terrified, but I felt so good to be able to contribute in this way. I went to Shir for English speakers. There is a lot of Tehillim being said. It is still hard to digest all the horror. People are trying to amp up their bitachon in Hashem, and we hope to soon hear the Sura Tovot. I watched the rally yesterday, and it was very moving. So I'm very appreciative. I thought that was an extremely meaningful and a powerful update from Avigail, and it sounds like Baruch Hashem, the kochos, the Azor Hashem, and the impact of being in Yerushalayim are really very, very special. I want to actually begin. We're going to be looking at a very powerful medrash. I'm going to end with a medrash.
Who's in Eretz Yisrael?
Avigail Kavi, you could listen on the recording. I just read the voice note that she sent. Not the voice note. I just read the WhatsApp that she sent. Okay. We're going to begin by looking at a series of different psukim from Tanakh. Okay? And we're going to connect them by a very, very powerful medrash that relates to Me'inyan Idioma. So I am beginning in Bereishis Perek Dalet. You should be able to see. I'm just putting it here for myself to quote the psukim. It's not a text-based shir. We're going to begin in Bereishis Perek Dalet. So the psukim tell us in chapter 4 of Sefer Bereishis, and Adam knew Chava, his wife, and she conceived and she gave birth to Cain. I've acquired a man with Hashem. She continued to give birth. She gave birth to Hevel, and Hevel was a shepherd, and Cain worked the soil. And it was at the end of time, certain time, amount of time passed, and Cain brings from the fruits of the ground an offering to Hashem, and Hevel also brought from the choicest of his flocks and from their fats, meaning the best part of the shearing of the sheep. And Hashem turned to Hevel and his mincha, and to Cain and his mincha he did not turn. And Cain is very angry, and his face fell. So he has this feeling of jealousy. No wonder that his name is Cain. And it shares the two-letter root of Kufnan with Kinnah. Vayam Hashem al Cain. Hashem says, Lama charalach v'lama nafu panach. I'm sure we've spoken about this before. Rabbi Zavlov calls this the first Musar Spuz in the Torah. Hashem says to Cain, why are you angry? Why did your face fall? If you improve, you will be lifted up. And if you do not improve, sin crouches at the door. Its longing is towards you, but you can rule over it. And Cain says to Hevel, his brother, Vayomer Cain el Hevel achi, vayibiosim besada. And Cain says to Hevel, his brother, what does he say? We don't know. And it was when they were in the field, Vayakum Cain gets up to Hevel, his brother, and he kills him. So jealousy is a mida meguna. It is a negative mida, but it's also a natural human feeling, and a person must conquer that feeling. It's not something that's advisable to have. It's something we have to work against, but it's part of the normal human experience to have this negative feeling. The question is, what do we do with the negative feeling? If a person feels jealous and they go and kill the other person, so clearly they have not reined in. They have not been covetous. Yitro, Cain gets up. He kills Havel's brother. And Hashem says to Cain, "Hey, Havel, chicha, where is Havel, your brother?" He says, "I don't know. Hashomer achir nochi." Someone at the rally yesterday, I don't remember which of the speakers, mentioned this passage, and that we have to be able to say, "I am my brother's keeper." If not, am I my brother's keeper? Why did you do? The voice of your brother's blood are screaming out to me from the earth. And the Gemara says, quoting the Mishnah, in Masechta Sanhedrin, Laman Zayin Aleph, the blood and the blood of generations of hell that would not be born. That's why it's Demeyachicha, your voice of your brother's blood, not blood, because he didn't just kill one person, he killed any generations that would be born from him. Okay, that's one passage that we're looking at in Chumash. Cain is jealous. He kills Hevel. God appears and says, "Where is Hevel?" He says, "How do I know? It's not my problem. I am not my brother's keeper." Now we are going to our Parsha, which is Parsha's Toldos. Okay, next source we're going to be looking at in the Chumash. So it's in Bereishis Parak Chav Zayin. In the beginning of Parsha's Toldos, Yitzchak and Rivka are davening for children. She conceives. Yaakov and Esav are born. Esav is a hunter. Yaakov is an Ishtam Yoshev Oalim. Esav sells the Bechora for a bowl of lentil soup. Terchavav takes a digression or a break from the story of Yaakov and Esav to tell us about Yitzchak and Rivka in the territory of Gerar and Yitzchak's digging of the wells. Parachav Zayin resumes the narrative. This Parsha told us this week, Sadra, resumes the narrative by telling us that when Yitzchak is old, he's 123 at this point, says Rashi, and he's within 5 years of the age of his mother when she died. He thinks to himself, maybe my time is up. He wants to bless his older son. He wants to bless Esav. Rivka overhears. She orchestrates a whole mirma. Yaakov gets shnei gediyizim. He dresses up in Esav's hunting garments. Yaakov gets the blessings first. There's been a contract. He is really actually the Bechor. Rashi also explains that if you put two stones into a test tube, the one that goes in first will come out second. Imagine a narrow test tube. You put in rock A and then rock B. Rock A is the one that went in first. But which one will come out first? Rock B will come up first. This is also Rashi. So Rashi explains, Yaakov was really the first conception. He was baby A, let's say. He went in first. Esav was the second conception. So the real one, according to conception, who was first, was Yaakov. But when they came out, who comes out first? Rock B is going to come out of the test tube first. So therefore, Esav is baby B. So Yaakov was conceived first. He was inserted first, so to speak, into his mother's womb. Plus, he sells it for a pot of lentil stew, which Esav agrees to. He doesn't see any Olam Haba. Rashi says they were fighting over the two worlds. Esav doesn't care about Olam Haba. He doesn't believe in an Olam Haba. I enjoy this world, then I'm going to die. So what do I need? Any zechuyos through being the Bechor. Okay, and then in Parachov Zion, Rivka orchestrates the Mirma, and Esav gets all dressed in Yaakov gets dressed in Esav's hunting garments. He gets the blessings first. Esav comes in with food, and he can't believe what happened. Okay, so we're skipping in Parachov Zion here, which is the next thing on my screen, and what happens? Esav comes in, and Esav says, "Get up, father, here's the food I make." And Yitzchak says, "What? Where is that one who brought me food? Va'achal mikol, I ate from all. Gam baruchia, he should also be blessed." And Esav says, "You don't have a blessing for me? Habracha achas, what's the exact lesson? Habracha achas hilucha avi, you don't have one blessing for me?" Parachov Zayin, Pasuk Mem Aleph, Vayistom Esav es Yaakov al habracha sher berchol aviv. Esav harbored, by the way, thank you, I knew how to turn on the lights because of you last week, Sarah. Thank you. Esav harbored resentment, and also my son was so taken by the biography of Rav Hertzberg. That's how he was quoting it all over on Yantif. Everything that came up, he opens up. He's like, "You have to read this." Yeah, Ma, it's the next thing you have to read. He left it in my house, so I have not had very much time. But Tehei Zichro Baruch, he went to South Shore. And he really, Mamash, he kept quoting, opening up, read this page, read this story. So it was Nashamash also of Aliyah. Vayestom Esav is Yaakov al bracha sher bracha aviv. And Esav harbored hatred in his heart for Yaakov over the blessing the father blessed him. Vayomer Esav belibo, and Esav said in his heart, Yikruvu yimei eval aviva harga as Yaakov achi. When the days of mourning come close for father, I will kill my brother Yaakov. So Esav hates Yaakov, he harbors this resentment in his heart, the Pasuk says, and he says, "When father dies, I will kill my brother Yaakov."
He always did from the very, he You always did, or after the sale?
This is after the blessings that, this is at the end of Parach of Zayin, Pesach Mem Aleph, after Yaakov came in Bamir Manam, Dilbri, not translating it, that's the Lashon, Targum Unkush says Bechach Masa, after Yaakov came in with wisdom and received the blessings first, Esav harbors resentment, and he takes an oath to himself, when my father dies, I will kill my brother. Okay, next passage we're going to look at is we're going to move out of Sefer Bereishis and we're going to go to Parsha Shmos. In Parsha Shmos, in Perek Aleph, we have the Shibud Mitzrayim and the Egyptian enslavement, which moves from propaganda to financial oppression to slave labor to infanticide. Okay, in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tesvav, Paro calls the Mialdo Se'ivrio, Shema Echa Shifa, Shema Shenis Pua, Mialdo Chene Se'ivrios, Uri Isem Al Ha'avnayim in Benhu Va'mitanosa. Pyro calls them Yaldos, and he says, when the baby is emerging from its mother's womb, if it is a boy, you shall kill the baby. If it's a girl, she shall live. And the last Pasuk tells us, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chav Beis, of the Sefer Shemos, Parsha Shemos, Vayitzav, Pyro l'chol amar lemer, kol ben yor aliyari tashlichu. Pyro commanded his entire nation, every male into the river. So Cain killed Havel because he had feelings of kinah and kaz. He didn't know what to do with them. It's a normal human reaction. Instead of being a Giber, Kovishus Yitzro, he killed his brother. Esav says, when my father dies, I will kill my brother Yaakov. Paro says, every baby should be thrown into the river. And at the end, it wasn't just the Jewish babies only that should be thrown into the river. It was all baby boys, because the astrologers told him, Yoshia Shal Yisrael, the savior of Israel is being born. He didn't know if it was going to be an Egyptian, an Israelite, all baby boys into the river. And then finally, the last passage from Tanakh that we're going to look at is in Megillas Esther. We will go to Paragimel of Megillat Esther. I think the basic story of Megillas Esther is all very, very familiar to us. But Haman comes up with a plot. If it's loading, it seems to not be loading right now. I'll just tell you, Psukim. Haman comes up with a plot where he wants to kill all the Jews. He too, by the way, is very jealous. We see what jealousy does. He's very jealous of Mordechai. Why does Mordechai have all the kavod? Why is Mordechai sitting in Shar Melech? Why isn't Mordechai bowing down from Mikina, Taiva, and Kavod, Motzi, and Esa Adam min Olam? So he comes up with this amazing plan, and he tells Achashverosh, what are we going to do? Chapter 3, verse 13 in the book of Esther. Here we are, V'nishloch, Sfarim Biyad Haratzim, Alkom Medino Samelech. They send scribes, they send scrolls, to all, within the hands of the runners, to all the provinces of the king, 127 provinces, Lashmid, Larogu, Labeit, Eskol, Yudim, to annihilate, to kill, to wipe out all the Jews, Minar, Vadzal, Kain, Tafanoshim, from youth to elderly, babies to women, B'yom Echad, on one day, on the 13th day of Adar, and their spoils are for booty. So in other words, just take whatever you want, plunder, kill. Okay, so we've looked at four situations from Tanakh, including one from Parshas Toldos. Perek Dalet of Bereishis, Cain kills Havel. Perek Chof Zayin of Bereishis, Parshas Toldos, Esav takes an oath in his heart. He harbors hatred. When the days of father come close to die, i.e. when father dies, I will kill my brother Yaakov. Perek Aleph of the book of Shemos, Sukkim Tes Zion and Chof Beis. Paro orders that all male baby boys born to the Hebrew shall be killed. And finally, 3:13 in the book of Esther, Haman takes it to a climax. So I'm going to quote a very, very powerful medrash that I think of every year when we learn through Parshas Toldos. And given the Inyanei Diyoma, it is even more powerful. You know, I'm seeing biblical texts, Tarbal Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebapeh, with really new eyes, even though we've learned them many times, perhaps. Everything seems to have an entirely different meaning now that we are going through this current matzav since October the 7th. So I am quoting from Medrash Esther Rabba, Medrash Rabba, on Megillas Esther, Parsha Zayin, Siman Chaf Gimel. Okay. Lahash midar go abed es koidu minar vadza kein tof anashim. I'm a Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Levi says, Arurim heim harashaim. Arurim heim harashaim. Cursed are they, the wicked. Shehem misaskim be'etz aral Yisrael. Why are the wicked cursed? I don't know who else went to the rally, if you're listening on Zoom or by your Torah, or you're here in person. We were, of course, there. So, I wanted to tell you something amazing. I wanted to tell you something. Actually, Adina Schmidman said this to me, Rabbi and Dr. Adina Schmidman. She said, I thought you would appreciate from this, which I really did. Yeah.
From the OU Women's Initiative?
Yeah.
No, you just have to tell
me. Very funny, Joanna. Okay, Rebbetzin Dr. Dina Schmidman sent me a thing, and she wrote to me, I thought you would appreciate this. Ready? Okay. For those of you who don't understand Tona because it's virtual, it's a joke, and me and Joanne are friends, and she was making a little chayzak mechen, and I understood. Okay, truthfully, I didn't make much of it. It's a nice coincidence, I thought. 300,000 of our brothers and sisters in the U.S., I'm sure you saw this. Many people saw it. I saw it a couple of times. If you want to know how many people were called up for the reserves in Israel, how many people were at the Washington Mall yesterday. Okay, so truthfully, I didn't make much of it. It's a nice coincidence, I thought. 300,000 of our brothers and sisters in the U.S. and 300,000 of our brothers and sisters in Israel. Okay, it's cute. But then I heard something from my friend, and I realized, as we know, there are no coincidences. This is, I think, Ad Hill Z Fold. If that's where I think it is, his brother Ari Fold, Hashem Yinkom Damo, was killed at the Gush Etzion Junction 5 years ago. But then I heard something from my friend Jeremy Gimple, and I realized, as we know, there are no coincidences. 300,000 in the United States, 300,000 in the United States, 300,000 and 300,000. What do you have? 600,000. Where have we heard that number before? That's right, at Har Sinai. We know that 600,000 people stood at the mountain as one person with one heart. Rashi tells us very clearly, Rashi Tishmos 19:3, 600,000 people stood at the mountain as one person with one heart. That is when we were most unified, the day we became a nation and the day we were worthy to receive the Torah. Total unity. 600,000. And now 600,000 of us are defending our nation and our country, some of them battlefield, some in front of the White House. That is no coincidence. I really thought it was so beautiful. If you want to know how many people were gathered yesterday in defense of Kaiser, even though it was much more, I just thought it was a very, very special thing. And what? So if you were in Washington, you were part of that. If you're one of the 80,000 who are watching on live stream, you were also part of that. The Medrash tells us something that we know from our long and bitter history. Arurim heim harashayim, cursed are the wicked. Shem is asking, be Eitzara al Yisrael. They gather with Eitzara, with a bad plot, with a wicked, evil, poisonous design. They rise up against Israel. Not only do they rise up with an evil plot about Israel, each and every one of them is al pidarko. So however he excels best at killing, that's how he's going to excel. He's going to fine-tune his own unique skills to figure out how to kill. The Omer, and every enemy says, Atzasi tova me atzascha. Every subsequent enemy says, I'm better than you. And I'm really understanding Torah Shebichtav and Shabal Peh in a whole different light. For example, I'll give you one example about Hamas. I don't know the last time, I don't know, not such a story, but generally, when we have had enemies in our past, they care about their own people. So they are very proud of their race. They want their people to be healthy and our people to be destroyed. Here you have Hamas terrorists whose main base is in the Al-Shifa hospital. They're using their own babies, their own women, their own children, their own sick as human shields. Not only do they want to destroy Klal Yisrael, they have zero respect, integrity, or sanctity for the lives of their own people. This is something new. In our last history of enemy, they were very proud of their own people. Unless it was an informer or someone who harbored the Jews, they were very proud of their own people. They were very proud of their own. Here you have people who are coming to destroy people. I can't call them people. Here you have demonic individuals in the cloak of a human body who are coming to kill Klal Yisrael, but they hate their own people. They shoot people, their own Palestinian people. They're shooting them if they try and escape to the south. When Israel sends provisions, I saw it online, I didn't watch the videos. They're shooting an attack of their own people to steal the provisions from themselves. Their main command center is in a hospital. So the Medrash is telling you such a truism. Each enemy devises something when you think the enemy cannot get any worse, when you think they cannot be any more depraved. They find ingenious ways of being even more depraved than anything you thought possible. So they live stream. So the whole world, they're so proud of what they did. So the whole world can see in live stream, in real time, the horrors that they are committing that are unfathomable. So every enemy finds a way of increasing over the enemy of the past. When you think it can't get any worse, they say, no, I'm going to be smarter. Atzasi tov, I'm going to be more evil. I'm going to be more wicked. I'm going to be more satanic. I'm going to be more of a demon. The Medrash tells you this. Torah's Chayim. The Medrash knows. Chazal predicted. The Torah knows everything that's going to happen at Bias Kol Tzedek. And now we go through and are going to connect these four biblical passages that we looked at. Esav Amar, what did Esav say? Shota haya Kayin. Kayin was an idiot. Why? Shaharag asachiv b'chayei aviv. There's another medrash that tells us that Kayin and Hevel were fighting over world dominion. Excuse me. They both wanted to be rulers of the world. So therefore, Kayin killed Hevel, because they were arguing over who is the true ruler of the world. So Kayin figured, great, I just killed my brother, so now I will be the ruler over the world. So why does Esav say, Shota haya Kayin? Kayin was foolish. He killed his brother, Bechaye Aviv. Do you know, I was at the Narlis this afternoon, and I was on a different level, I was relating this medrash, and I said, who was Kayin's competition after he killed Hevel? And one of the residents, all the way in the back, when I say elderly woman, that's with the greatest respect, when Pnei Seva talking about Darta Pnei Sakim, but the whole population is very elderly. And one of the women raised her hand, and she knew. And sometimes people do not know that Adam and Chava, in fact, had another child. It's in the beginning of Parakei. Adam Yadas Chava Ishto, Vatahar, Vatelid Bain, and she had another child, and his name is Shais. This woman raised her hand, and she's Shaseth. I said, wow. That's unbelievable. I mean, I'm talking about someone in her, like, probably mid, like, without exaggeration, mid to upper 90s. So I said, this is amazing. I said, you're absolutely right. So Esav says, Kayin wants world dominion. So he wants to get rid of all the competition. But what does he do? He kills Hevel b'chaye aviv. V'lo haya yodea sh'aviv para v'reva. He didn't know his father was going to live till he was 930. They didn't live till 120 in those days. They lived almost a millennia, 1,000 years. So it's very nice that he killed his competition, but in leaving his father alive, what happened? His father went ahead and he had another child. So now Kayin can have what he wants, which is world dominion, because through Shais, the world comes. The Iron Scroll footnote says, just for your reference, this Midrash is of the opinion that Kayin killed Hevel in order that he would remain the sole heir to Adam. But you're not the sole heir to Adam if your father's alive till 930, and then he goes and he has another child. And then you have the whole world to himself. Artscrollfoot. Now, however, these new children would undermine Cain's wish to be Adam's sole heir. By killing Hevel at this point, Adam's future children, Seth and the generation Shais that would come from him, would now be on their guard against Cain, making it impossible for him to kill them and giving them part of the yichus of Adam and Rishon. Had Kayin waited until after Adam's death, he could have killed Hevel and all his other unsuspecting brothers at once. So that's what the Midrash says. The Midrash says, Shota haya Kayin, Sharag esachiv b'chaye aviv. Shota Kayin, he was a fool. He didn't plan properly. He killed his brother in the lifetime of his father. V'lo haya yodesh aviv para v'reva. Didn't he know that his father was able to still be fruitful and multiply? So Esav says, Parshas Toldos, Ani Eini Osakach, I am not going to make the same mistake that the first murderer did. Every murderer learns from another. The Midrash says this. Everyone wants to do better than the one who came before. That's what we're seeing today. That's what we're seeing today. You have an enemy who is ashamed of his behavior, the worst enemy to ever walk the planet. Somewhere along the way, they understand that we have to cover this up and don't let the world know. And yet today you have an enemy who's so proud of what they're doing. They glorify it to the whole entire world. They live stream their actions with body cams so everybody could see they're so proud of it. They hate their own people. They hate their own people. It's one thing if you hate Klai Yisrael, Allah Rebbe Duh Sheis of Son Eliyakov. They hate their own people. Who puts the command center and their bombs and their grenades and their guns and their missile launchers in schools, in bedrooms, in their own hospital of their own people? I'm not talking about an Israeli hospital, their own hospital. And that's what the Midrash says, Torah, MSKM, Chayenu, Va'aruch Yameinu. It predicts everything that will happen to us. I've seen this Midrash before. It takes on a whole new light. Call Echad Ve'Echad Me'em Yoetzufi Darko Va'omer Atzatzi Tova Me'atzoscha. When you think the enemy against us cannot get any more devious, cannot be any more evil, they somehow find a way to up the ante from the previous enemy. So Kayin made a mistake. Why? Because Kayin left his father alive, so now he has competition. So Kayin apparently did not perfect the art of killing. Along comes Esav, Parshas Toldos, and Esav says, I'm going to learn, I'm going to improve. Ani eini osakach. Said Esav, I'm not going to make the same mistake my ancestor Kayin did. Ella yekrivu yemei evel avi. This is a pasuk we looked at. Chav zayin mem aleph v'hargas Yaakov achi. When the days of mourning for fathers come, for my father comes, goes, then I will kill Yaakov my
brother. So in other words, Cain left the father alive, but he killed the brother. Esav says, well, my father dies, so I won't have to worry about my father having more children. Then I will kill my brother. However, what was the problem? In the time that he left his father alive, his father lived to 180 years old, Yitzchak. So Yaakov goes and he marries a lot of women and he has a lot of children. He marries Leah and Zilpah, Rachel and Bilhah, and ultimately he has 13 children, and they have children, and they have children. So by the time father dies at the age of 180, Esau's plan also backfired, even though he said, Yikuvi Mevo Avi. So he figures father will be out of the picture. Vahargas Yaakov Achi, Yaakov will be out of the picture. He also wasn't successful because in the interim, his brother went and he had babies, he had children. So now his plan wasn't good either. Along comes Paro. After Esav, we went to Shemos Perek Aleph. Paro Amar Shota Haya Esav. Paro says, you know, Esav was a fool. Esav didn't know how to kill. Didn't he, Esav, understand that his brother Yaakov is going to be fruitful and multiply in the lifetime of father? So what does it help you? They're waiting for father to die if Yaakov goes and marries four wives and has all these children. Ani eini osa kach. I will not do this. Elo, Aramaic, adi inun de kikini de kikin tachas krise imoseihan ana mechanik lahon. While the infants are still under their mother's bellies, I will strangle them, said Paro. That's what he says. In 116 Shabbos. If you see the baby coming out and it is a boy at that moment on the birthing stone, you shall kill the baby. What does this medrash have to do with Emunah, which is the topic of our Wednesday night shiur? A lot. Because if we, a lot. Because if we look through history, the enemy becomes more and more evil. If such a thing is possible, you can't even think it's possible. How could they get worse than they already are? They always find ways to be more evil, more corrupt. I mean, you have mass murderer terrorists who are killing their own people, who have the whole world marching behind them. They have hundreds of it's insanity. It completely makes no sense. They always find ways to be more evil. And Rahman al-Atslan, a person could look at the world and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, where are you? God forbid. Did you see yesterday that chartered flights from Detroit landed?
Malki was on it, my sister.
Sister was on it. So I have a woman who learns with me. She learns with me for a number of years, since COVID actually, when Zoom started to be a thing before we knew about Zoom. She learns with me since COVID, so it's like 3.5 years. Her niece was on one of the planes. They landed in Dulles Airport, and there was a walkout, and the bus drivers refused to come and transport Jews to the rally. Is it Germany 1937 or America 2023? So a person could look around the world, chas v'shalom, and you could say the enemies always come up with more ways to kill us. And you could chas v'shalom say, where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Well, that's why we have to continue the Medrash and get to the end of Medrash, and you'll see that the Medrash is going to solidify our Emunah, even in the face of our enemies who are so corrupt, so horrible, it's beyond description. Ein milim. Paro came along and said, Shota haya Esav. Esav was a fool. He let babies be born. Didn't you know Yaakov is going to go marry and have 13 children? Ani in Yosakach. When the infants are under their mother's bellies, on a mechanic loan, I will strangle them. Hadahu dichtiv, like the pasuk says, every male baby shall be cast into the river. It didn't work because Paro only killed the zachar and not the nekeva. Along comes Haman. Haman Omer. What?
He
said, La Bedekala Yehudim, Minarva Zakhen. So Haman Amar, along comes Haman, and he says, Paro Shotahaya. Paro was a fool. Paro does not understand a committed infanticide. Paro figured, I'm going to start at the babies. Efer of Salvation is a whole piece where he speaks about, and the Lord is righteous in all his ways, how the Nazis, Yimach Shemam V'Zirchem, thrived on killing the babies. But why? Because they understood that it represents the future of Knesset Yisrael. So if they root out the future of Knesset Yisrael, the Nazis thought there will be no Knesset Yisrael. Of course, it could never happen, but that's what the enemies today also think. There will be no Knesset Yisrael. Haman comes along. He's a Malik. Haman ha'agagi mizara Amalek. And Haman says, you know, Paro was the idiot. Sha'amar kolabena yod ha'yot ha'shichu. He said, every male should be born, who is born shall go into the river. V'chilo haya yodea. Did Paro not know? Sha'habanos nisaos paros viravos. If you don't kill all the Jews, Haman said, and you leave the girls alive, did he not know that the females are going to marry paros viravos, be fruitful and multiply? And the article footnotes points out, if they marry Egyptian men, their offspring would then be considered after their mother and the offspring would be Jewish. Haman said, Ani eini osakach. I'm going to be smarter than all of them. Hadohu dichtiv, like the pasuk says, lahashmid laharug la'abed, 3:13, we quoted it before, lahashmid laharug abed es kol ha'yehudi. Mina'ar va'ad zakein, taf v'nashim b'yom echad. So it's going to be all in one day, so no one could escape. It's going to be youth, na'ar, ad zakein, to elderly, taf, babies, Nashim, women, and Rahman al-Sam, when we think of the captives, hopefully we're still thinking about the captives, they're all ages. There's 10 months, see, the baby was taken at 9 months, but now 10 months, and they actually think, I don't know if you saw that, one of the women by now must have given birth, and they believe that there is a newborn. She was taken in late stages of pregnancy, and they believe the new baby has been born until 87 years old. And this is exactly what Haman said. Na'ar va'ad zalkein, ta'f v'nashim b'yam echad. So I will wipe everybody out. The Medrash continues. And the Medrash says, how could the Medrash possibly continue? What else could there be? Adam, Cain, and Hevel, Esav against Yaakov, Paro against the Israelites, Haman against the entire nation. All ages, all stages, both genders. Va'af Gog u'Magog. Va'af Gog u'Magog. Va'asid Lavo. And so too, the final war. So too, Gog and Magog in the future will say. Magog, our Skofanot, is the name of the nation that will launch a cataclysmic attack against Israel at the dawn of the Messianic Age. They will be led by King Gog. This war is known as the War of Gog and Magog. Gog is the king of a nation named Magog, and they will launch the final cataclysmic attack against Israel at the dawn of the Messianic era. I can't, what?
They just did, October 7th.
I can't hear.
They did.
It seems. Are they Gog and Magog? I don't know, we can't say. But it seems. Listen, they certainly launched a cataclysmic attack. Are they Gog and Magog? I don't know. But it certainly seems that when you look at this enemy, it's impossible to even fathom. The flame of anti-Semitism, I don't think anyone thinks anymore that Zionism and anti-Semitism could be separated. Anti-Zionism was just a code word all these years for we despise the Jews. And it has been ignited to an inferno around the world in an instant. Rav Shamsher Fall Hirsch, in his commentary to Chumash, points out something so beautiful, because you know how important it is to focus on Shorashim. Gog is a roof, Gag. Well, it's very interesting. By the way, we read of the attack on Gog and Magog on Sukkot. Talk about timing. That's when we read the attack of Gog and Magog of Torah. So Gog is a roof because it's like they impose a roof. There's only so far that a person can go. In other words, a person should never impose limits on themselves. As long as you're still alive, as long as a person is still alive, we should never say, I've reached my limits. I've reached my glass, that's what I'm looking for. You should never say, I reached my glass ceiling. There's no such thing in Avodas Hashem. There's no such thing in Tikkun Amidus. There's no such thing in Limud HaTorah. Doesn't matter what level a person is on, they always have to know there is no ceiling. They can always reach more and do more. Gog and Magog, the final battle. Gog is you've reached the zenith, you can't do more. But I think even more than that, which means that they stop our connection between us and our Father in heaven, but even more than that, a ceiling to me represents that there's no God. They're saying, I put up the top level, I am the top, there's nothing above that. In other words, there's no Ribbono Shel Olam. God, I mean, you can't, the word is the root word for Gog. So the question of it is how you define it, but it can't be debated because that is the root. So I don't know if this is right or wrong. I didn't see it anywhere, but it's my feeling. Libi Omer Li. Gog means I set the bar. I set the ceiling. I say who's on top. There's nothing above the ceiling that I, Gog, the king of Magog, impose. And then he's godly. If he is the buck stops here, if he's the top level, if he's the penthouse of the apartment building, there's nothing else above him. That's who Gog is. They become, well, no, not become. They make themselves believe that they can decide mi yechel mi yimus. They make themselves believe they are the ultimate ruler. Va'af gogama god the asid lavo lemur. And the Medrash continues. Even gogama gog in the future will say, shoutim hayu v'shonim. All of those previous ones who came against Israel, all those first murderers, none of them knew what they were doing. None of them knew what they were doing. Not Amalek, not the Yevanim, not Antiochus, not the Cossacks, not Kalminsky massacres, not the blood libels, not the pogroms, not the Nazis, not Hamas. Gog and Magog is going to say none of them knew what they were doing. Shahayu misaskim be'etos im malacheim al Yisrael. Lo hayu yodin sheyesh lem patum b'shamayim. Because all of them were busy coming up with a plot against the people of Israel. But they forgot. This is what Gog and Magog, the ultimate enemy, which we sincerely hope and believe that we are in the ikvus of the Meshicha in the most visceral sense. The entire world's against us. So what else could there be? You know, I was thinking to myself on Monday, could you imagine if when we're all in Washington, Mashiach like Mamish comes in. So then I thought, oh no, but I'm going to be in Washington and I'm not going to be in Eretz Yisrael. But I was really thinking to myself, like, I don't know. Imagine if we, like in a very real, I really had a real moment of like Mashiach's going to come tomorrow. How could it be possible not? But Gog and Magog, Gog, the king of Magog is going to say, V'lo hayo yodin sheyesh lem patron b'shamayim. They were fighting against Am Yisrael. Hama, Esav, Paro, Haman, the Yevanim under Antiochus, and the Cossacks, and the Crusaders, and King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella. They were fighting against Am Yisrael. But they didn't realize that Am Yisrael is a protector in heaven. And me, Eini Osakein, me, I, Gog, will not do this. Ela Hareini Mizdaveg, like from Zivug, I will match up with in patronan techila. I will attack not the people, I will attack their kaviachos, if such a thing is possible, their protector in heaven. Hadahu dichtiv, like the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Perak Bis, Yitzyatzvu malachei aretz v'roznim nasadu yachad, the kings of the earth and the princes will conspire together, al Hashem v'al Mashicho. We won't worry about attacking the people. We will worry about attacking Kaviyachol, the Ribbono Shel Olam. And when we attack their protector in heaven, of course, it'll be their downfall. So I really think it strengthens that Pshah of Gog. They are saying, I am the Gog. I am the top. I am the penthouse. I am the backstops here. There is nothing above me. Gog, I set the roof. I set the bar. I will attack God. I will bring him down, so to speak, as if such a thing is possible. And if I bring down their protector in Shemaim, of course I will destroy the nation. Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu. By the way, to Pasuk, when you say Kriya Shema tonight, if you say the four kapitach, the first four kapitach of Tehillim, after your Kriya Shema Alamita, which some have accustomed to do, this Pasuk is from there. Yisatzvu malchei aretz, v'roznim nasodu yachad, the princes and the kings of the earth will all take a stand together. Al Hashem va'al Mashicho. If we attack Hashem, if such a thing is possible, then we will be able to attack who? Is Mashiach, the Redeemer. Because Gog is the final battle before Mashiach. That's exactly right. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. 909. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I start exactly on time. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Rasha, you wicked person. Li ata bali hizdaveik. What does it have to do with Amuna? Kosh Baruch Hu is always here. Also, I'm being mechazik micharat. If you need it also, the Valdik, if you're on a higher level than me, you know, I was learning with someone today. I learned with once a week with a very special woman who is on a different intellectual level than most of us. But she's so insightful. She's so intuitive. She's very wise. And we learn on her level. Torah always has to be on the level of a person, the way they can understand it. So after we said the tefillah for the Chayalei Tzahal, tefillah for Shalom HaMedina, and a kapitel of Tehillim, start with tefillah, and then we go to learning, an hour session. So she wanted to start with Rosh Chodesh Kislev before we got to the Parsha. Yeah, okay, let's talk about Rosh Chodesh Kislev. So I said to her, it's very hard for me to feel like it's Kislev. I'm being honest. Yesterday was Rosh Chodesh. Kislev is usually a very light-filled, I don't know how you feel, whatever. It's hard for me. It's hard for me. I heard two mothers yesterday speak. That for me was the most moving part of it. I was crying. My son's school went, Hank, seniors, went on Monday to Salman Schechter School of Long Island because this Omer Nutra is a graduate of Salman Schechter School of Long Island. So Hank, seniors, went to learn and say Tehillim and be mechazik with the students of Salman Schechter Long Island. His mother spoke at the rabbi. So, and another mother, two mothers of...
Rachel Goldberg, she's my aunt's friend.
She what?
She's my aunt's friend.
She's an infant. So two mothers spoke. For me, that was the most, I don't know, I don't have words. I don't know what to call it, part of the rally. I was crying. Why did I bring that up? Because it's Kislev. So I said to this woman, she's in her low to mid 30s. I said, it's very hard for me to feel like it's Kislev. It's very hard. So I said to her, how do you feel? So sometimes she could be hesitant to answer if she's afraid of getting something wrong, if it's a learning question. So I said, this is not a learning question, this is a feeling question. You can't get it wrong, so don't be shy. So sometimes the things she says are so astute, so wise, so perceptive. She said to me, I feel both. I feel both. I feel sad because of Hamas, but I feel happy because it's Kislev. I said to her, you're on a higher level than me. A human being is able to have dual emotions at once. I'm having a hard time feeling any simcha because it's Kislev. Now, it's not an inyan of simchas adar, mishnechas adar marvim simcha. The Mishnah tells us very clearly. But I'm having a very hard time. I don't feel simcha. It was so astute. I said to her, I have so much I can learn from you. She said, I feel both. I feel sad because of Hamas, and I feel happy because it's Kislev. We have to be mechazek, and that's why I say I'm talking to Michal Horetz. But there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. And even though, and I know we all know there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. We all know that. No one who's part of this year thinks there's no Ribbono Shel Olam. Sometimes, it's extremely vayar samakot meirachok. Even Avram felt at that moment that God was distant from him. Sometimes it's hard to perceive, Hashem, where are you? We're going through one of those times. There's a mechitzas habarzel in a very real sense. Or maybe that's another answer of what Gog is. The mechitzas habarzel is an iron partition that separates us from our Father in heaven. Maybe that's also what Gog wants to do. Set up a mechitza. Oh, I just thought of something else. A roof is a cover. It's a mechitza. It's a barrier between us and Shemayim. It's like literally a barrier between us and Shemayim. That's why there's an inyan to make a chuppah outside, so there should be no barrier. Should be mamash under the Shemayim for Gishmei, no. Shafa bracha. So maybe that's another answer of what Gog is. Gog sets up a true mechitza between us and our Father in heaven. And sometimes the enemy is successful in causing us to not be able to perceive in an easy fashion where there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. But the Midrash goes through all of the Shonei Yisrael, all the murderers in biblical history. Not all. The main murderers in biblical history. I'm sorry, but I don't have time for comments right now. And the Midrash says, because I have to finish the Midrash, I want to tell you other sources that I don't have time for. Remember, we began with Abigail's message. Robinson, Dr. Schmidman sent me, I thought, something so beautiful, about 600,000. We looked at all the Pesukim in Tanakh, and I really need to finish this Midrash. And I don't know, for me, it's hard for me to feel the Simcha of Kislev in a time of such... Like my yeshiva bachur said to me today when he called, I said to him, they're in the al-Shifa hospital. I said, we need so many tefillos. Last night, he said to me, pachad shabepachadim. But there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. And even though they try and put up a gog, an iron partition, and even though they try and set a limit and say you cannot climb any higher, it's not correct. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu, Rasha. Now Kadosh Baruch Hu answers, Rasha, li ata bali hizdavek? You are coming to fight against hizdavek, match. You think you're a match for me? Kama gidudim yesh lefanai. I also thought this was so beautiful because how many troops I have before me. Did you see there's a video going around of two soldiers? But there, you know, Art School published a special run of Daf Yomi for the soldiers. It has the Mishaberech for the Chayalim, it has Kapitich of Tehillim, and it has the Gemara inside. There's a short minute and a half video clip of two soldiers sitting in Gaza, and they're learning with their Gemaras in front of them. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Kama gedudim yesh lefanai? How many brigades of soldiers, troop, gedud, God is a troop. How many brigades of soldiers are at my disposal? How many soldiers put on tefillin for the first time they never put on tefillin before? Kama vrakim, kama ra'amim. How many lightning bolts do I have, says God? How many thunderclaps do I have? Kahada dichtiv, like the pasuk says from Sefer Shmuel, vayarem Hashem b'kol gadol. Hashem thundered with a great noise. But kama srafim, and how many srafim is a kind of angels? The kama malachim, and how many angels? Ela gevurti teitze v'nechames imach. Akash Baruch Hu says, even though I have all the troops, I have all the lightning bolts, I have all the claps of thunder, I have srafim and malachim, I will not send any of those to fight with you. Ela gevurti, my gevura, my strength, teitze v'nechames imach. The Medrash says, I'm not sending any emissaries. So of course we do hishtadus, but we have to understand that hishtadus is just hishtadus. The ultimate warrior is Ela Barach of Shmos. I'm thinking about Pasuk from Shmos also. Tehillim 28, Chof Ches, Ela Barach of Ela Basusim V'anachnu B'Shem Hashem El Kenu Nazkir. Parak Chof, Pasuk Ches. The pasuk I was thinking of from Shemos, which I think is 14:13, is when Moshe says, "Hisyatzvu uru'u es Yeshua Hashem Meshor Yasa Lechem Hayom." So it's true you need the gedudim. It's true you need the soldiers because ain't so mechal an ace. Well, Klai Yisrael is so mechal an ace. But you have to show that you do some hishtadus. You need the thunderclaps. You need the lightning bolts. You need to go to the rally. You need to show the world that there are people who are moral, who don't tear down the American flag, who don't deface the White House property, who don't scream death to other people, who stand united in prayer and song and longing and positivity. You need the thunderclaps. You need the lightning bolts. You need the troops going forth into Al-Shifa Hospital. Yibach Shom V'zichem. Who can imagine such an enemy? And there are srafim and malachim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, none of those are going to fight the battle. Givurti, givura shali, teitziv and achamisimach. We'll go out and fight with you. Hadahu dichtiv, like the pasuk says in Zechariah, v'yatza Hashem v'nilcha bagayim ha'im. Hashem will go out. Hashem will fight those enemies. Kiyam hilachamu b'yam karav. As he waged war on the day of battle, Ma'aktiv Taman, what is then written? That was Zechariah 14:3, Zechariah 14:9. V'haya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz. V'yamahu, Yasham echad u'shma echad. When we think the enemy cannot become any more demonic, somehow, they do. And yet the Ribbono Shel Olam says the worst enemy who will rouse the entire world against us, and I agree that it certainly seems like, is it halakha gulgum agad? I have no idea. But it seems certainly that this enemy has said to the whole world, we will fight against their God. We will take them down. We will set up the partition. A roof is literally a partition between you and the heavens. We're going to set up the God so there is no contact between them and their Father in heaven. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, do you need the troops? Yes. Do you need the thunderclaps and lightning bolts? Yes. Do you need the malachim and the srafim? Do you need children writing letters to be mechazik the soldiers? Absolutely. But who is going to go out and ultimately fight the battle? The Ribbono Shel Olam says, Gog shota ata. Imi ata baliz daveik? You're going to fight against me? Lahaya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz. Please, Ribbono Shel Olam, let us all feel the simcha of Kislev. Rabim biyad ma'atim, tmeim biyad tohorim, rishayim gemurim, biyad tzadikim, zedim biyad oskei, Torah secha, we should be zochet to say, she'asa nisim lavaseinu bayamim ha'heim, asman hazeh. The Shem of your mother-in-law, Shem Shemer, Zuchus Aliyah, Zuchir, Latova, Miriam, Baschayim Yitzchak. I wish everybody a gevaldik week of only besuras tovas for us and for all of Klai Yisrael and for our precious land of Eretz Yisrael. Thank you so much. Kol tov to all.